The opening of this story is the description of a tragedy. So he went to a town called Nain. His disciples, a large crowd, went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Now, the dynamic of this sentence is that it builds the tragedy. And everyone in Luke's audience knew the dimensions of that tragedy. The death of a widow's only son means that her only source of livelihood, of food, of care, of clothes, of home, is gone. His death meant her abject poverty and premature death. The story of Naomi and Ruth is a memory of what is associated. So also the story of the widow of Zarephath. I'm going to make a cake and eat it and die. So the widows and the orphans were a particular concern of the prophets, and Jesus stands in that prophetic tradition. But the beginning of the story is then painting the picture of an immense personal tragedy. Jesus responds by compassion. The Greek word splagnizo is one of the great words in the Gospels. This word is used in Mark in Jesus' response to the leper who comes up, falls at his feet, and says, "Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean." Jesus splagnizoed for the man. He had compassion on him. And the literal meaning of this word is for your bowels to turn over. So splagnizo is the description of this movement in your body of compassion for someone who you see is suffering. So Jesus splagnizoed for the woman. He had compassion on her. His bowels turned over for her because he knew what it was that she was going through and what it was that this meant for her. You can get the feeling of this word from noticing the other places where Luke uses it. It's used in two parables of Jesus. The first is the parable of the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite see the man on the road and pass by on the other side. The Samaritan saw him and he had compassion on him. And he went over and bound up his wounds and so on. The other place where Luke uses it is for the father in the parable of the two sons. When the younger son, who has wasted the inheritance, comes home, his father saw him from a distance, and he had compassion on him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This word is used to describe the extreme experience of feeling for one who has been hurt or who is now turning around, coming home. So the dynamic of the telling of the story then is that he says to her, "Don't weep," which means don't be afraid. Don't be sorrowful. I'm going to help you. Now, the impact of this story is very much a re-experience, another experience of the dynamic of the story of Elijah raising the son of the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17:8-24. And one of the signs that this Elijah story is in the background of Luke's story is that the phrase at the end of it, "gave him back to his mother," is an exact quotation from the Septuagint of 1 Kings 17:23. And it's also that the crowd's response of naming Jesus as a great prophet means a great prophet like Elijah and Elisha. So his ministry to the poor, the imprisoned, the blind, the downtrodden, those in the grip of death, those are the signs of a great prophet. The response of Jesus, then, his action, is to come forward and touch the coffin, the bier on which the young man was being carried. And the bearers stood still. Now, this is a storytelling preparation for Jesus' words. So take time there, you know. And the bearers stood still. It's a short sentence, and it is in order to emphasize Jesus touching the bier, and then they stood still. And then he said to the young man, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Now, the dynamic of this word to the young man is, in terms of the image of this, is I think of his leaning forward and speaking directly to the young man who is lying there dead. It might even be a whisper in his ear. But it has that dynamic of leaning forward and speaking directly to him. After this, there is a pause. And then the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, this is an episode that invites the storyteller to express her delight, her joy, her wonder, her amazement at what has happened in this action of Jesus and of this young man sitting up. It is, has the same dynamic as Lazarus coming out of the tomb. So it's virtually impossible to overdo the degree of emphasis and of exaltation, joy, amazement, whatever, in the description of this event. The response of the crowd is then the concluding episode. So first of all is fear. Fear representing the response to an action of God, like the smoke of God on Mount Sinai, like the fear that struck people when the ark was touched because it was falling off and the man fell dead. Everyone is afraid. In this instance, because of the new life that had happened. And then they glorified God, and the expression of this is a continuation of the storyteller's joy, but now it can be even bigger, of expressing the wonder of the crowd, you know, as they say, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." No, this is the same spirit as the crowd at the triumphal entry, "Hosanna! Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming." You know, it has that same kind of impact. So the last part of the story then is this celebration of Jesus' action. Now, what is the historical probability of this event? Many commentators are skeptical. The claim of the story is that God has the power to act through his prophets to resuscitate persons who have died. This is a sign of the power of God working through Jesus. It is not the power to take life, as it is in the warrior traditions, but the power to give new life, as in the traditions of the prophets. So whatever, skepticism you may have about whether it's historically probable that Jesus did this. If you want to tell the story, it is to enter into the spirit of this story, which is the spirit of entering into the widow's tragedy, and then the mystery of Jesus' action, and the wonder and joy of his being raised to new life. So I hope that you can find in this story the joy, the possibilities of new life that are present in the symbolic system of this story in its original context and now.